Father, I just ask you to come to us in mercy, in our weakness, in our helplessness. I pray that you would give the words that something for each person in this room, that you would speak personally to each girl. Lord, I just pray that every one of them would surrender their heart to you. Amen. You notice I don't have a title on the board because I, at the last minute, decided to scratch my whole message and just talk to you from my heart. So I have no notes at all, and I'm just going to share the way that God has led me, the things that I've been through, so that you guys can know that I really do understand where you are. Because I forget sometimes. I don't know. I'm not a teenager anymore. And it's like sometimes they look at older people and think they have no idea what they're going through. And I really do know because I was there and I remember it amazingly because my memory is very short. But when I was little, like, I don't have very many memories of when I was really little, but when I was like 8, I was very loud and boisterous, and I fought with all the boys. I always argued with them because they always said things that weren't true. And it was just, oh, it just got me so bad that I could not let them say things like that weren't true, and I had to correct them. And oh, it was a tough job because they didn't listen to me. Well, so all the way from at least 8 up to 12, I was outspoken. I said what I thought. I was pretty obnoxious. But when I started to get about to be 13, all my emotions changed, and you know how that happens. And I got extremely insecure so that I would hardly talk to anyone at all. And my mom is very, I don't know, protective maybe. She talked for us all growing up. If somebody asked us a question, she could see that we were shy, so she would answer for us. So, like, she never made us actually stretch and do something ourselves. She, like, was always there to pick up the pieces. And so by the time I was 15, I could barely even tell a stranger my name. And I was extremely, extremely insecure about myself. I thought I was, like, I don't even remember now what I thought. I thought nobody liked me. And I thought that I was, I basically thought that I was, if I stated an opinion that was different than someone else's, they would not like me for it. And so if I had a differing opinion from someone, it doesn't matter what it was, just what color you like or something, I wouldn't tell anybody that I didn't like the color they liked because I thought they would not like me because of it. So from 13 to 19, I was like really, really shy. There was probably 2 to 3 years where we hung out a lot as a group of young people in our church, and I didn't really talk at all. Like, we would sit in a group for hours without me saying anything. But I got ahead of myself because I don't have any notes. I was very insecure, but I was also pretty, well, let me back up. When I was 9, I was struggling. I was sad about something. I was crying, and I didn't have anybody that I was comfortable to go to tell them, you know, or to talk about it. So I was crying on my mom's bed by myself, and I just remember praying and asking God to help me to be good, because I knew I couldn't be good by myself. And after that prayer, I was like as light as a bird, and I was so happy, I was so free. I told everybody I had gotten saved. Well, then I got into my teenage years, and that was very rough. And so in spite of the fact that I was extremely insecure, I was also very careless, maybe, about God. I thought, basically, like, my dad's the pastor, you know. He's going to take care of any spiritual needs, and I can just follow along, basically. And me and my friends, who were also old enough to know better, we played very wrong games, things that we should not have played about. We joked about serious things, and I just didn't have any sense of who God was. I didn't have any sense of that life is important and that we can't take it for granted. And so I wouldn't even scar your ears with the things that we joked about. It was bad. And nobody really knew that we did it. I mean, our parents definitely didn't know. And like, my dad would see us goofing around in church a little bit, but we're old enough to keep it really sophisticated so that nobody really noticed it. Except one day, it got a little bit out of hand where I was poking one of my friends and joking with her about something. And on the way home from church, my dad asked me what we were laughing about. And I pretty much had a heart attack on the spot, because I would never have told him. I would have died before I would have told him. And that shook me up a little bit, made me more careful, like, not to let anybody see it happen again, though it didn't really change my heart. And for some reason, he got interrupted or distracted, so he didn't press me about what it was, so I didn't have to wiggle out of it. I just didn't answer. But I'm losing my thoughts because I don't know where to go next. I guess I'll just continue the story. So we joked a lot. We talked a lot. We spent a lot of time together, as in, like, the young people from our church, and almost none of it was healthy, almost none of it was profitable. It was all, at the most, it was just unprofitable. A lot of it was just downright wrong. And me being one of the younger of the group, it was like I'm just following the older ones, you know, doing what they do. So in spite of, even though this was also at the same time where I was extremely insecure, there was certain people that I wasn't insecure around. So I was very insecure in a group of people or around any adults or anyone new. But if it was just my couple little friends, like, you know, the Whitakers were like our sisters practically. And so with just them, that's who we goofed off with, and that's who we got into trouble with. And so this continued on. I don't really have almost any good memories from that time of my life. There probably were some, but I don't remember them. I just remember being miserable all the time. And I still would say that I was a Christian. I had been baptized when I was 14. And I definitely wanted to follow God. But I didn't, like, I just didn't really know how serious it was. I didn't really understand what he had done for me or who he wanted me to be. And so by the time I was 17, I had been 17 for a few months. And we knew my dad had had a heart issue. We knew that he was not feeling well, but I didn't realize that it was. I didn't realize how serious it was. I mean, nobody that I had ever been close to or loved had died before. Like, my grandpa had died, but I didn't even really know him. So I don't know. I took it for granted that he would always be there. And so when we were at church when it happened, and us young people were all together, have no idea what we were doing, just in a bedroom together, and because we had church at someone's house at the time, and someone came in the room and said that something happened to my dad. And I mean, it was just a flurry. Like, I didn't want to see what was going on because I was scared. And there was a bunch of little kids there. And so some of us older girls took all the little kids, like, out somewhere so that they wouldn't have to see what was happening, for when the ambulance got there and stuff. And they live out of town, like 20 minutes or something. So it took at least 20 minutes before anybody got there. And they took him to the hospital. And of course, I was just pretty clueless about what was happening. I mean, we were all extremely quiet on the ride to the hospital, of course. But when we got there, they took us into a little room because there was lots of us. And I just remember my brother saying, they say they can't save him. And I remember praying and saying, God, they can't save him, but you can. And I just took it for granted that he wouldn't die, because I thought that we needed him. And we went home without him that night. And he never came home again. And it was a very, it shook me, like, down to the foundation, because he wasn't there anymore to pick up the pieces. He wasn't there anymore to do what needed to be done. It was suddenly like, I'm standing before God on my own. I have to make choices for myself, because my dad's not going to make them for me. And the whole atmosphere of our little group of people changed overnight. We didn't joke around about serious things anymore, and we didn't. It was serious. It was suddenly serious. Life was serious. And you can't take it for granted. And I was not close to my dad in a personal relationship, but he was like my foundation, because I knew he was going to make me do what I should do, basically. And I suddenly had to make decisions for myself, just based between me and God. And I, for the next probably 2 years, I would read the Bible, and I would listen to speakers, and I would feel so, so dirty in my heart. I knew I was unclean, I was dirty, and God was so big and so holy that I could not approach Him, I could not pray. And I had probably two words that I was able to pray, and it was, "Help me." And I would pray over and over to help me. I would try to pray for someone else to be saved, but it was like, as soon as I would want to pray for someone else to be saved, I would feel so condemned, because I felt like I knew I wasn't right. And how can I pray for someone else to get right when I'm not right? And I remember reading stories through the Gospels about Jesus, and I would cry and cry and cry, and I would say, "Jesus, I don't know you. I don't know this person that I'm reading about. He's not in my life. I don't know who he is." And I wanted to know him so bad. I wanted to have that. I mean, you would read about him everywhere he went. He healed everybody that was sick. Everybody that had problems came to him and said, "I need your help," and he helped them. And I just felt like there was thousands of miles between me and him. And I would pray for his help. And I went. We had heard about Keith Daniel by this time. And this was, I was 19 at this time, somewhere around 19, I think. And I went, and like a couple of us, some of my sisters and a couple friends, went down to Bemidji, Minnesota, where he was speaking. And we listened to him, and then Brandon went to talk to him afterwards, And it was like the first time I had, like, I don't know if it was the first time I had seen him. I don't remember. But I remember looking at his face. And I think if I had to say, I think I would have to say that is where I met Jesus, because he was such a picture of Jesus that even though I thought what he said wasn't right, because I thought it wasn't, I was so used to condemning myself, that he said, "Don't judge yourselves." Basically, that's what I remember him saying. I know he said some other things, but I don't remember what they were. I remember him saying over and over, "Don't judge yourselves." And he had so much grace in his voice and in his eyes that it, like, went into the depths of my soul. And at the time I was thinking, like, that's not what we need. But we went home, and I kept thinking about it. The words kept coming over and over to my, ringing in my ears, and I would pray. And then I was hanging up my laundry one day, or taking it down, I don't remember which, And it was like, suddenly I saw it as clear as day, that I am this filthy, rotten sinner. I can't do anything right. I don't have any goodness. I can't be good enough to talk to God myself. He is 1,000 miles above me. But Jesus bridged that gap. It was His blood that paid the price. It was Him that made me able to come to God. And it was just, at the time it seemed kind of small. I didn't tell anybody what had happened. I didn't really even think about telling anybody. But I left that spot completely different. And over the next week, everybody who saw me said, "What happened to you?" And I don't even remember what I told them. But everybody kept asking me, "What happened to you? What happened to you?" And so I would explain to them as best as I could what had happened, what I had felt before, and what I felt now. And I was so happy, I was so free, I was so light that I could not keep my feet on the ground. And it lasted, that joy and that exuberance lasted for probably 2 to 3 years, maybe more, where strangers would tell me, like, you, I mean, not strangers, but people that didn't really know me would tell me, "You are the happiest person I have ever seen." And I wish it could have stayed that way. But there was trials ahead that were very severe and very dark, and I'm not even going to go into all of it, or all of them. But maybe I'll just pick up where I'll skip a couple years, because they were kind of uneventful. Not really, but I don't want to talk about the stuff that happened. And pick up where I felt like my life had finally, or my life was what I wanted it to be. I had friends. I mean, fairly popular. I don't even care anymore, but but I had the one that I thought I would spend my life with, and I was happier than I thought I could ever be. And yet, God said, "No, I don't want this for you right now." And it says, I think in Malachi, I don't know if that's the book, but anyway, it says in the Bible that God can blow on your stuff, basically, and it will just scatter. And I felt like that's what He did to my life at that time. And I went through the deepest pain, that you can imagine, where I pretty much cried all the time. And I could not stop, and I could not control it. And every time I got alone, I was just sobbing, and I'm saying, I don't understand what you're doing to me. I don't understand why you're killing me, basically. And I would try to get answers, and I would pray about it, but it was like I felt betrayed by God. I felt like He had mocked me because He had given me something, and just as I was about to take it, He pulled it back. And I struggled with bitterness, and I struggled with letting it go. And people, well-meaning people, say well-meaning things, but it was, I repeated over and over in my head, miserable comforters are ye all. Because nobody understood what was going on. And they're trying to tell me, the same way Job's friends told him what was wrong or what I could have done or what I should be doing now, and that wasn't the point. Because God wanted me to give Him the dearest thing that I had. And if you're not willing to give Him the dearest thing that you have, you can't be His follower, because He has to have everything. And He took from me the thing that I prized the highest, to see whether I would follow Him or not. And in that brokenness and despair, I said, yes, Lord, I'll follow You. There's nothing else. There's no one else. I'll do whatever You tell me to do if You just heal me. And He has put some of the pieces back together. And He is still putting them back together, and I don't know what He's doing. But my life is not mine. Because when you come to Him, when you give Him your life, you give everything, and you give Him control to make the decisions. It's not up to you what happens. It's not up to you to decide where you go or what you do or where you're going to end up. You give your life into His hands and say, you take over. And you have to follow Him through the darkness, because you don't know where He's going, but He does know where He's going. And out of the brokenness of my heart, I went on a journey to the heart, begging God for an answer, begging Him to heal me, to show me what He was doing. And He gave me a vision at that place of reaching out. And I went home, and I talked to Lydia, and I said, like, seriously, can we start a camp for girls? And she said, whatever you do, I'm standing behind you. And I said, I mean, like, seriously, like, should I invite Jenny Daniel? Like, would she come? And I had no money. I had no way of getting that much money. I mean, I work, but your bills pretty much take what you get. And so I emailed Jenny and asked her what she thought of it. And she said she would pray about it and get back to me. And as you can see, it happened. Not just once, but four times now. And it's not me. It has nothing to do with me. Because it's not the path that I would have chosen. If I had chosen my life, if I had chosen what I was going to do, I would be married with kids now. But I'm not my own boss. I'm not in charge. And so it's God. It's all God. And I'm so grateful that you guys are here, that you've taken a week of your time to come. But I hurt in my heart because I fear the paths that some of you are on, some of the things that you are going to face that you're clueless about right now. And I want you to be ready for it when it comes. I want you to know where to go. There's nothing here that we can see and that we can touch, that we can smell or feel, that is worth your time or your energy or your life. And you don't know when you're going to die. You don't know if you have 10 years, 50 years, or 3 years. You don't know if you have 1 year. And because you're young, you take it for granted. Like, we all do. It's like, oh, I've got the rest of my life ahead of me. But you don't know what's going to happen. And you have this time right now to give God everything you are, to put your feet 100% on Christ and let everything else go. You have to die to yourself. I've seen some of you girls acting the same way that I acted when I was that age. Disrespectful. Just, you don't really give a care. Like, come on, I'm here to have fun. Like, don't get in my way of fun. And you're not here to have fun because you don't know when that fun is going to be over and then there's going to be nothing left. If all you are planted on is fun, it's going to vanish before your eyes and you're going to be left with nothing at all. And if you don't have Jesus, if you don't have a foundation on Him 100%, you're not going to make it when the fun is gone. We have just a day left here. And we've heard awesome messages, and we've had awesome times of prayer together, and God is working in each one of your hearts. Don't resist Him. Just open your heart. Let him have your life. Don't worry about whether you're going to have friends or whether you're going to get married or whether you're going to be rich or poor. It doesn't matter. Give him your heart today. Let him have control of your life, because he's going to wake you up. If you're blowing along carelessly, joking about serious things and just wanting to have a fun time, God is going to wake you up, and it's going to hurt when he does. And you don't want to lose your father or something of that nature in order to get woken up. It doesn't have to take that. You can soften your heart right now towards God and give him your heart so that he does not have to be rough with you. And I don't mean that in the fact that he is really rough, but it feels that way when he has to take the foundation out from under you because you're not planted on the right thing. It's going to hurt when you fall. And don't be angry at God when he does it, because he wants to bring you to himself. He wants you to be actually standing on the foundation and not on something that is going to fail. And I will just close with a poem that I wrote recently. I'm falling before you, my Savior, my King. I've nothing to offer, no goodness I bring. But leaving my dreams, my ambitions behind, I'm trusting in you that new riches I'll find. I'm bringing my heart that is broken by sin. I'm crying for mercy, dear Savior, come in. Where sin has destroyed me and left its dark stain, I open my heart, Lord, and ask you to reign. I've nothing to offer but failure and shame, and ask to be cleansed in Jesus Christ's name. I lay down my will at the foot of the cross and ask you to fill me and burn up the dross. When trials are pressing, temptations are strong, when faltering and failing, I slip and do wrong. Then lead me, dear Savior, back to the blood and wash me again in that glorious flood. When doubt is the only companion I know and fierce is the tempest through which I must go, then help me remember you stand by my side and under your shadow I always can hide. When heaven seems closed to the things that I say, and Satan is whispering, why should you pray? Then give me the shield of faith in my hand, and help me within your power to stand. When trouble has filled my heart and my soul, and everything seems so out of control, then teach me you hold the world in your hand. There's nothing at all you don't understand. And when I am breathing my last final breath, then walk with me, Lord, through the shadow of death. And welcome me home to your heavenly rest. I'll lay down this load. I'm eternally blessed. Dear Father, I just beg you to be with us, to open our hearts to you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each girl in this room, each person in this room. I pray that whatever you are, if there's anything that you are pointing out in somebody's life that they have not surrendered, I just pray they would let go, that they would give you everything they have. Lord, I pray that you would be present in a powerful way here. I just pray that you would show us who you are. Father, the ones who are afraid, I pray you would show them that you are standing there with open arms. I just pray that you would do your work and that you would get the glory. In man.